Everyone, and welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Scouting Report. Hook 'em Horns had a great weekend, as well as just a few of those NFL quarterbacks. We'll get to all of that in a minute. But first, let me remind you, check out Agent Live 360. With a full invoicing and pay-through system now available with every license, there is no better time to go sign up. Keep track of every aspect of your agency in one easy-to-use spot. That is Agent Live 360. Sign up for demo, and I personally will take you through that demo. Might even get to talk a little football while we're on the call. AgentLive360.com. That's where you want to head over. AgentLive360.com. We'll look forward to doing that demo with you. So, first things first, let's hit on the two quarterbacks that I fully expect to be part of the 2024 draft class, despite what some are wanting to put out there. First one, of course, I'm referring to Caleb Williams out at USC, the defending Heisman Trophy winner, who is hoping to get that Trojan team into the Final Four this year. He's picked up right where he left off through three games this year, 78% completion for 878 yards, 12 touchdowns, no interceptions. His highlights have become what we all expect in three blowouts against teams that, you know, expected to do it against. A top five pick is almost surely on the way. Again, where and there will probably just depend on draft order, which leads to the comments put out by Caleb's dad about the NFL draft and the possibility that Caleb would stay in school in 2024. I'm not buying it, not even a little. Lots of reasons why. First, almost every athlete that gets to the level Caleb's at, again, playing at the highest level, is highly competitive. That means that the next step and the highest level, the NFL, is the dream. That's where he wants to play. To tell a guy like that that's going to have the accomplishments that he has after the years he has at USC to stay one more year, it makes no sense. Second, the one who everyone is initially pointing out as the most expected team to earn that number one spot, or really any other team in there, you start calling that number one overall pick a dysfunctional team. Again, dysfunctional team. Yeah, there are some poorly run franchises on multiple levels. Presidents, owners that get overly involved in personnel, coaches that have too much power in the evaluation process, at times scouting departments that overthink, convince themselves of other things, don't actually stand on what they actually believe in. It's always easy to point that franchises like the Cardinals right now say, we don't want to be a part of that team. If they're the number one pick, we'll stay. Yeah, but an entire building can be flipped out in a matter of a couple of years. You can almost always, you know, find a NFL team that is going to be more well-run than any college athletic department. Again, if you think NFL, you know, rosters, front offices, buildings have, you know, some question marks, yeah, throw into that the entire academia of, you know, colleges. No, again, even as big as USC's, Alabama's, Ohio State's, they have to deal with stuff from the academic side, NCAA. Yeah, you talk about dysfunctional there. Just throw those four letters in and you'll find dysfunction. Another reason, top prospects can't float this idea almost every year. Again, someone will talk about it. I've yet to seen it happen. Again, the money argument that you throw in there, even though he's, you know, getting paid now at USC. Again, you're talking about a $37 million guaranteed contract over 4 years. That's what Bryce Young has roughly signed in Carolina as the number one overall pick. About $9 million a year. Yeah, good luck getting that much at USC. Again, the talent argument, the NFL is better talent, the control argument. Again, you sit and stay, we don't want to go to, again, say Arizona for, you know, just argument's sake. We don't want to go to Arizona again. Okay, what's the dysfunctional team going to be in 2025, 2026? Again, the top pick, again, I don't care if you believe that the NFL model is backwards. Again, there's a reason why the NFL is the most successful, the highest ranking, the most watched, the best, you know, league out there. Again, it's all the things they have in place, the draft being one of them. I would say to Caleb, make sure you control the message. You You control the message. It's your entity. I don't believe you're going to, you know, choose not to go to the NFL. I guess if you want to sign in the XFL, USFL, you can control where you want, maybe even go it to Canada. I don't expect that to happen. I fully expect and look forward to seeing you in the 2024 NFL draft. And that's going to go for any of these other prospects that are, you know, first round type picks that, you know, are going to sit and maybe we'll feel it out. Yeah, we'll see you in the 2024 draft as well. Now to that other quarterback, Quinn Ewers. And the biggest upset of 2023 thus far, and yes, this is a bigger upset than CU over TCU, to win on the road in Alabama versus a Nick Saban team. That's a big deal to win in the manner they did, even bigger. Yet I still think Quinn Ewers has better football to play. Arm talent is very good to excellent. He played a clean game from a turnover standpoint. The O-line kept him upright, really dominated. Again, a lot of stalemate early, really took over later as the game went. As I often do for quarterbacks, there were a few throws that he missed that I think to take that next step to be the guy that, you know, maybe a top three pick, he's got to, you know, continue to take that step. I thought that was one thing that there were a number of throws that Quinn had that was just kind of left me wanting more. And that was when he does a common thing where he's fading as he's throwing the football. Quinn has the arm talent to be able to fade, not step into a lot of throws. He gets away with it a lot, even against Alabama. You saw him get away with it. I thought it got better as the 2022 season went, but there were two throws that were sticking in my mind in particular against Alabama that where if he steps into it, if it's a confidence issue, if it's a mechanics issue, that, you know, if he completes these passes, again, it just continues to put Texas in the right situation. Again, from a trait standpoint, I have seen him increase his velocity, trust his eye, fire balls into tight windows. When he didn't this last week against Bama, he gave defenders the opportunity to jump routes, knock passes away. Again, I thought there were a couple critical situations where he just needed to, again, if it's trust, if it's confidence, or just mechanics, he's got to improve. If he does improve on those, again, you're going to start seeing a top three quarterback. I think he can do it. I think Quinn, along with Caleb, will be top five quarterbacks. You throw Drake May in there, we may have a 1-2-3 quarterback scenario like we did in 2021. And, you know, in that draft, we saw a tight end drafted at number four. I think we could see that with a certain Georgia tight end again. This time, maybe a team that'll draft that tight end will use him the way that they've said all along. But, yeah, I'm going to leave that one alone from there. So, now to some of these NFL quarterbacks. A real gut punch for the Jets last night with it looking like Aaron Rodgers is going to be done for the year. Yes, it is an ugly thing, but Zach Wilson did help get the win last night. Again, overtime against a team that has kind of controlled that division last couple of years. One of the most fun interview players, Xavier Gibson, with a big punt return in overtime. So happy for him. Kid that lights up the room, lit up every interview he was in on. The Jets, they're going to have to make some adjustments with Wilson at quarterback. But again, this is still a team that has a lot of talent on it, a team that's going to be competing for a wild card spot in that division. Getting that win at home to start the year last night is huge. Everyone in that division is going to have to figure out how to limit the scoring. I don't think anybody's going to outscore Miami, so you just got to figure out how to limit it a little bit, and it's going to come down to the end of the year. Speaking of that Miami versus Chargers game, probably the most fun overall game of week one. Huge game for both quarterbacks. Both looked really good. Both teams looked very good. But again, outside of those few quarterbacks, there was a lot of ugly average football in week one. Defenses will almost always start faster than offense. You see this at nearly every level. But guys like Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Russell Wilson, among others, all kind of struggled week one. Again, numbers average, a lot of short throws. Again, offensive coordinators oftentimes have a lot of time to plan, sometimes overthink. Again, nobody panic after week one. All these players, all these teams are going to be okay. Teams that had big expectations, they'll ultimately figure it out. One more thing to hit on as we start getting some 2023 fall film rolling in on the college side, and that is media versus scout hype. One of the questions that I get hit on early on in the years every year is who's popping, who's jumping off tape, who's players that are rising up the board. Again, the average fan or average media member out there, you know, sees a guy that has a good week one, week two, if they're draft eligible, they start talking, wow, I found a player, look at this guy, no one's ever heard of him. Yeah, I'm going to go almost guarantee most teams already have a grade on that player, already have a feel for him. Again, East-West Shrine Game, Senior Bowl, they do a great job with their games. They will start to tell you about how they find guys as well. Again, in most situations, NFL teams already have some reports on these players. Good scouts are going through their rosters, through their lists, even late in the previous draft cycle, tagging guys that look the part, have the height, weight, speed measurables. Again, people in the building are going to mention players. Hey, look out for this guy next year. These, you know, really, really excited about him. When these players start showing up early in the next season, scouts don't bat an eye. They've been doing information gathering, doing work on these guys for almost a month and a half. Now the film going to start rolling in. They can accurately get that play evaluation, continue to piece together. Media types will almost never find a guy. Teams, scouts, football people know about them already. I'm not going to say never, but it is rare. Thinking about a couple of situations that I went through when I was a Midwest scout, guys like Quinn Miners out of Wisconsin Whitewater, Ben Bartsch out of St. John's in Minnesota, they were on our scouts' radars in the Midwest the entirety of that year. And really, they didn't start picking up steam until late in the year as far as the media goes. But again, they got, you know, the media run, the Senior Bowl, Mobile. Again, you start talking about Quinn Miners, made for TV personality. Again, those guys just really continued to shoot up the boards. But again, it took scouts extra years, extra time that year to get to know some sources on those campuses. Again, not schools that have players every year, so maybe not visits every year. But again, when the media takes on a guy like Quinn Miners, starts pumping, my reaction, the reaction of many scouts I know, is to take a step back, revisit the tape, take a breath, don't listen to the media. Again, let your eyes do the work, let your own mind do the work, trust in what you're doing. Again, Quinn is a good football player, but the media storm for him was unreal. Again, I remember having to pump the brakes on him throughout the process. Again, a player that I liked, that I thought had an NFL future, but again, not where he ultimately went. Add the fact that, again, that personality was just made for TV, the belly shirt, all of it, it just kept the snowball growing. Small school players are especially susceptible to this type of treatment. Again, players that, you know, nobody's ever heard of. Often they get overdrafted because of everything that goes into it. I think that ultimately hurts these players in a lot of ways. Again, they need more developmental time. It's a bigger learning curve for them. Again, they need to maybe sit a year. Again, not going to call it a redshirt year, but maybe a backup year before they get on the field. Again, Miners struggled early on in his career. Again, did have a solid week one this year, but again, it's taken him time. Again, Ben Bartsch continuing to develop, grow in the right way. These guys have chances to be good pros for a long time. But again, hype is hype. Film is film. Scouts will trust the film and almost always ignore the media. So again, if you have a scouting source you can go to, follow actual scouts online, on Twitter, on X, wherever you're following, get to know them, see what they're talking about, as opposed to some of the media personalities. Week two, NFL coming up, along with with games across the college landscape. 2024 draft prospects film starting to roll in. I'm looking forward to getting on some of that film, start to get some reports for you, talk about players, questions, comments, anything else, hit me up on X at RightStepADV, again, formerly known as Twitter. I will continue to call it that until I get myself retrained. That is at RightStepADV on X. As I always say, trust your eyes, trust your film, ignore the hype, and keep scouting.